Excuse me for keeping my hat on, but I'm getting just a little gray, and I don't want it to show on the radio. Just one or two hairs in there that's got mixed in. Well, sir, I've been off the air here. I've been off about, I believe it's been about 7 weeks. I went off purposely to see if I couldn't give the country a chance to pick up a little. And I've been off 7 weeks, and it don't take much looking to see that I ain't done much since I've been gone. So I decided to come back on again and see if we can get it started up again. How the whole, not only the the whole world, the whole civilized world, but has degenerated in the last 7 weeks. But well, not only the whole civilized world, but the Democratic Party too, and that's quite an admission. Now, what all has gone on in all that time? Well, while I had my head turned and wasn't on the radio, Hitler broke out on me. I thought I had him covered. And Hitler broke out of it and tore up the Versailles Treaty. It wasn't a good treaty, but it was the only one they had. And he tore it up. It was a year making it, and he tore it up in about a minute. And they had been about a year messing it all, fixing it all up, you know, all these nations. We got in on the signing of it. We got nothing out of the treaty outside of the pen that we signed with was all that we got. But all the other nations, how it come to take them so long to sign it up was they was dividing up the islands and the possessions, Germany's possessions, the islands and the colonies and all around. And we didn't get any. We said, well, we went in for nothing, and they all agreed that was a good idea. And we got out with it. In good shape. No, not in good shape, but we got out with it anyhow. So that was that. And now, last week, England sent a delegation over to talk with Mr. Hitler and see if they couldn't get some other understanding with him. And they talked, but they didn't. England didn't get to say a word. Hitler talked all day, and it wasn't in English, and England didn't know any more when they went home than they did when they got there. Didn't get much sense out of that. And now what they were trying to do is see if they couldn't get him to make some other arrangement about if he wouldn't do something about the treaty. So now they went on, and another man named Mr. Eden. So England has gone on to talk to Russia. They're going to talk to Russia. None of the nations, and France is going to talk to Russia. No nation don't like Russia, and they don't like communism and all that, but they would use them in case the war come around. That's one good thing about European nations. They can't hate you so bad they wouldn't use you. Well, they're up there, and they've told Russia, says, now you're communistic, and you believe in dividing up everything. And says, ordinarily, we don't. We don't believe in it. But it looks like they're going to have a war over here, and we would like to split it with you boys. And they're going to... So they're going to let Russia in on a good thing in case it shows up. Well, that's that. Well, now they'll be coming over here pretty soon. You see, they're rushing around now signing up. It's just like a baseball team, you know. The whole of Europe now, they don't know who's going to be partners in the next one, so everybody's rushing around to get some new signatures on the thing, you know. And see who... I bet Dillinger didn't have as much trouble signing up his gang as some of them over there, you know. They're rushing around, says, who'll help out? Now, they'll be coming over here with their propaganda pretty soon. You know, there'll be delegations coming. We didn't come to persuade you anything, but in case civilization is attacked, why, where do you boys stand? And well, we'll better tell them, says, well, if civilization hasn't done any more than it has since the last war, why, well, we're against it. we say, which... So we'll just stay with the side that's against civilization. We're supposed to try it the other way that time. Well, they will. They'll be messing around over here. Now, that's all. That happened over in Europe while I had my head turned and wasn't on the radio and paying much attention. And what else happened? All gone if Mr. Hoover don't deliver a message while I'm gone. Now Hoover... I turned around and Hoover and Hitler broke out on us. Mr. Hoover, we used to out in California. I have the greatest regard in the world for him. He's a good personal friend of mine. We used to ask him, says, Mr. Hoover, do you think Stanford is going to beat Northwestern in this game this fall? He lives right there. And my boy goes to Stanford, and we have great interest there and everything. He says, do you think it's going to do? He says, I'm not in politics, and I can't be quoted. And he never said a word. Is that all? And all at once, I had my head turned, and he broke out on me. And it didn't bother me as much as it did the Republicans. And it seemed to upset his own party more than it did the Democrats. Because there is a certain bunch in the Republican Party that thinks that Mr. Hoover perhaps wouldn't be the logical candidate and feel that they would be, I imagine, and all. And so they think that it's kind of embarrassed the party to have him speak at this time. I read the message, a little hard to read, as most of his are, kind of hard to get into. But I kind of gathered from just reading between the lines that he really wasn't in 100% accord with all that was going on in Washington. Now, that was just a rough idea that I got from it. I don't know. But they forget that Mr. Hoover, being the last candidate, is still the nominal leader of the Republican Party. They forget that, these other Republicans do, and that he's the one. And he had the perfect right to, and now he's got them stirred up. And now they've got them all messed up, and the Republicans ain't been so excited in a long time. They're going to have some kind of convention out around Kansas City. And they're all going to meet in there and start some devilment of some kind. I don't know just what it is. Mussolini, I had no more turned my head till he jumped down and he couldn't find nobody to pick on but an Ethiopian down in. He's gone down in there in some country called Abadaba or somewhere. He's off down there. Seems that the Allies, that's a little promise the Allies made that guy too, right along during the Versailles Conference. When there was, they says, now Mussolini, don't you claim nothing, and then if you ever want anything in Africa, our heads will be turned. And so he remembered that. That guy never forgets anything. So he's off down in there. Astor, we was getting along pretty good in Washington, and Astor come along with his yacht, and the president just can't overlook that yacht when it comes messing by. So he crawled on it. What he does on Astor's yacht, Lord heaven only knows, he's never caught a fish on there yet. But he will get on that yacht. He will get on that yacht and go somewhere. Well, let's see. What other devil would we have? The state level. A lot of you states have had a lot of trouble in the last 7 weeks because your legislatures have met. There's nothing will upset a state's economic condition like a legislature. It's better to have termites in your house than a legislature. Well, they're in there trying to figure out ways and means of knocking some money out of you some way. Well, let's see. If anything else y'all can think of that it happened. Now, but all that's happened. So I come back now, and we're going to see if we can't get the thing sort of straightened up here. I think that's about all I can remember. I'll go check it out. You want any more? I don't know what this thing is. All right. I'm supposed to be through it. I'm just talking to you folks now. I think I don't think the radio gang is on there with us now, and we can have a few words here among ourselves. Because radio audiences take these things very serious. They think you should have everything all prepared and all written out, you know, just what you're going to say and all. Well, sir, I went down. I'll tell you all about it. I went down to Washington. I come back here, and I went down to Washington last week. I go down there once in a while. The Senate is my particular hobby, and I go down and see them and go in, drop in the old joke factory there and see what the boys are doing. And so I went in there and got out there before yesterday, Friday, I believe it was. Went down there and I always drop in to see Mr. Garner. My office is in the vice president's office. I go in there and leave my hat and everything. And then I work out of there. And he's a great fella, Jack Garner. I'll tell you, he's a very fine human fella. I just wish that I knew and felt in my own heart that every man down in Washington that had anything to do with our government was as level-headed and had as much common sense as Vice President Garner has. Now, he ain't keeping off around, making a lot of speeches now, like a lot of these others, but if he did want to speak, I imagine he could tell a few things. And, well, I get in there, and then I go up to, I go up to the gallery. Well, I got up in the gallery to see the boys operate, see? And, well, I got up in there, and there wasn't much doing. It was pretty quiet. Huey wasn't in there, and, so I went in there, and I'm sitting in there, and in comes Pat Harris from Mississippi, another dear old friend of mine. Pat come in, and he's seeking some Mississippian, and he comes over and shakes hands. I've known him for many years, and he's one of the big leaders in there now. So Pat come over and chatted with me, and he excused himself, and he says, I got to go down on the floor and put in a bill. He says, I'm going to put in a new NRA bill. I said, my Lord, you going to start that thing again? And, I said, you better change the name of it, you know what I mean, because there's been a lot of trouble with the NRA. And I said, Pat, if I was going to put in a new bill, I believe I'd pick out three other letters and put it in under an assumed name. But anyhow, he went down there. And he went away. Why, then in comes Senator Kappa. Senator Kappa, dear old friend of mine, a Republican from Kansas, a Republican but a gentleman. A rare combination. Well, Senator Kappa, he comes up. And me and Kappa, we sit there talking, you know, farming and everything. He's always doing something for the farmer out there. He's got a lot of farm journals, mostly writes editorials for him. But he's a mighty good old man, has a farmer's interest at heart. And he was telling me about the dust storms. That's another thing that's come up since I was off there, that dust storm. Poor farmer spent a lifetime fixing his farm and everything, goes down and looks down at it, and it's up above him, and but they're going to fix that. The administration is sending Mr. Tugwell out now to see about to stop that wind out there. Well, anyhow, I got to get back. I it ain't no sense to what I do. I got to get back up there. I'm sitting up in there with Kappa. Kappa says, Will, would you like to have lunch with me? Well, yes, I the best offer I'd had up to then. And I said, yes, I'll go. He said, all right, we'll get the vice president. And I said, well, if you need to get him, that'll make it worthwhile. And, well, you got to be careful who you go out with down there. So we went down, and he dug up two or three others and went down, and we run on, and he had five or six, and we all went down in the Senate dining room to have lunch, and Nye was there. You know, Nye that runs all this ammunition thing, and I don't think I'm betraying any confidence when I tell you that Mr. Nye tells me that out of this ammunition thing, they're going to introduce a new bill to take the profits out of war. And he assured me that they were getting it ready, and he says, we're going to have it ready in a few days. And so he says that that's what they're going to do. They're going to put in a bill where, in case there is a war, that nobody will be allowed to make any profit from it. And I think that's a great idea, and I know everybody does. I think it'd be still a better idea and would keep us out of a lot of war if they put in the bill in there that not only couldn't we make any out of our own war, but we couldn't make any out of anybody's war.
I've been reading a lot about this dust, and I've been reading a lot in history, and Rob Wagner's script, it's got a story about it, was good, and all these, and that's how every civilization since time began in the whole world has been covered up. It's been this dust. It's a terrible thing to happen to those people that are out there in the Middle West where it is happening, but on the other hand, it's a great tribute to feel that the Lord feels that you have a civilization that is so advanced in the rest of civilization that it is the first place to be buried under. I mean, you know, there's something in that, you know what I mean? To think of our Middle West. I didn't think at first that we was that smart in Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas and eastern Colorado, but our Almighty, he must know. Now that it would ever cover up California for the same reason, I've got my doubts. So my wife and daughter has just returned from a trip down in Egypt, and they went way up the Nile, flew up the Nile, and went in at Luxor, and this went way down, she told me, hundreds of feet down in underground that had been covered by the dust and storms of centuries and centuries, to see old King Tut's and Ramesses and the old Pharaoh's tomb. Great, that was a great civilization, see, buried in the blowing sand, see. Any old civilization they've ever dug up, sometime they go down and find two or three layers of civilization. All been covered up because they plowed underground that you shouldn't never plowed under in the first place, you know. And they cut down a tree that never should have been cut down anyhow. You know, we're always talking about pioneers and what great folks the old pioneers were. Well, I think if we just stop and look history in the face, a pioneer wasn't a thing in the world but a guy that wanted something for nothing, that's about all, you know. And he was a guy that wanted to live off everything that nature had done. He wanted to cut a tree down that didn't cost him anything, but he never did plant one, you know. He wanted to plow up land that should have been left to the grass. I don't know, we're just now learning, you know, that we can rob from nature the same as we can rob from an individual. All he had was an axe and a plow and a gun, and he just went out and lived off nature. But really, he thought it was nature he's living off of, but it was really future generations that he was living off of, you know. Now, Roosevelt, you remember, here a couple of years ago, do you all remember this? Roosevelt suggested planting millions of trees in all the dry regions, you know. He said, ever so many miles, we'll put a row of trees clear across the country. Well, the Republicans had one of the best laughs they've had since 1928 when they read that. Just imagine the government going into the tree planting business. What a nut idea. It was so nutty that it'll be about 10 or 15 years before they'll be compelled to do it. That's how nutty it was, see? Remember another one of his ideas, when he took the young boys off the roads and off the streets and put them in these CCC camps and had them all planting some little trees. And the press had big laugh. They had a big laugh. I remember reading the paper, you know. They called them sapling planters. He said, look at these young kids. They got them all planting saplings around. Well, if the sapling planters had started in about the time the Republicans took over the government from Grover Cleveland, we'd today be able to see the sun. Now, wait a minute. I must get back from these political parties and get back to civilization, for there's nothing in common between politics and civilization. Ain't nothing common between those two at all. If, as history has shown, the Lord does bury each succeeding civilization and buries them in accordance to the advancement of the people in that neighborhood, I feel proud that I come from that particular Middle West belt. If a civilization had to be buried as it becomes advanced enough, well, we feel proud that we're the ones to be plowed under first, that's all. In years to come, the archaeologists, I got that right, the archaeologists will dig and find Claremore, Oklahoma, and people will come there to the ruins and dig down and say, here lied a civilization, you know what? Well, then later on, they'll unearth the state capitals, you know. And then eventually, as Washington is covered up on account of its being the least civilized, it'll be the last place covered up. They will excavate in there and find the old capital and decipher some of the old hieroglyphics you know, that people of those days humorously call laws. You know, they let steal all them, and they'll come from the four corners. I bet they come from all over the whole country, four corners of the earth, to see what queer race live there. You know, and they'll find places called banks where the money changers were. You know. Men who in those ancient days lived by interest alone.
Much obliged. I first want to tell the radio audience where I'm at. I'm broadcasting from Sacramento, California. That's our capital out here, beautiful state capital. It's located in the civilized end of the state. Thought you all ought to do better up here on that than that. That is put in purely for you. I said that purely for your benefit up here. It's one of the old cities founded during the gold rush days, Sacramento was. They used to use gold for money at one time in this country. But now it's the only thing you can't use for money. You can print some money, or you can issue some bonds and pay the bankers interest on them, but you can use pretty anything for money in this country with the exception of gold now. They keep what gold we've got in the warehouse for ballast, I reckon. I don't know what they're using it for. They will let you draw out a little bit every once in a while for your teeth or something. We've got quite a distinguished audience up here Dave. Governor was coming. It's 4:30 up here in this place now. It's 4:30 in the afternoon out here in Hiram Johnson's time. Hiram Johnson, Senator, he runs this state just as much as Huey Long runs Louisiana, only Hiram don't say anything about it, but runs it better. It's 4:30 out here now, and we have quite an audience here. The governor, I met him at breakfast over there, said he was coming, but he had to go out here and crown some queen. Said he crowned the same queen 12 years in a row out here, and he's the one. He's gone out there. He's governor. That's Governor Merriam. Folks all back east know Governor Merriam. He's one, Pete St. Clair, he's one of the few Republicans to escape the 32 massacre. Like everybody that was elected in 1932 and have had to hold office during this, I'd call it the TYFOH time. Tough years for office holders. You got to have initials for everything now, so that's what this period is. The TYFOH, tough years for office holders. The people that were elected in 1932, they're not right sure yet whether they was the winners or not.